What's up, you sick motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Kruger's Corner. I'm Mike Kruger, joined with producer Todd.
What's up?
And we're back at it with another double review episode of Freddy's Nightmares. And tonight we're going to be reviewing episode 9 and 10. So starting off with episode 9, Rebel Without a Car. And in this, a whimpering teenager wants desperately to be cool, but he soon regrets his wishes. Meanwhile, Connie runs into trouble at a college frat house. So I'm just going to go out and say, I think this has been my least favorite episode. It just, I don't know, this guy in his car fucking thing, just wanting to get out of Springwood, it really did nothing for me. And that like creepy mechanic guy that kept popping up, I thought just looked stupid. And then the whole frat house thing, I mean, there was a couple of hallucination scenes that we get, but nothing to write home about. And it was just, I don't know, I just felt like this was definitely the weakest episode as far as the two stories that we got in it. And yeah, wasn't a fan of this one really at all. But what about you, Todd?
I'm with you. Not the best. I mean, I don't hate it, but I don't think I've gotten to any I've hated so far. They're going to start getting hazy the closer we get to season two for me. Like, I remember a lot of the early ones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can't argue with anything you said. It's not the greatest episode. It's a shame because it's directed by John LaFia, who was a co-writer on Child's Play. He directed Man's Best Friend, the Killer Dog movie. Actually, he directed Child's Play too. Also,
what? Really?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. That's my favorite Child's Play.
Yeah. I didn't really. I knew he wrote the first, but yeah, he directed the second one.
Shit.
Okay. Well, and we also do get another genre face, Diana Barrows, who plays Diane in this from Friday the 13th, Part 7. She shows up as one of the mean girls, and Katie Barbary. Not really from a genre film, but she is from the horrible, horrible Garbage Pail Kids, the movie. She plays Tangerine, the lead. So I've hated her since that. So that didn't help my enjoyment of it. But yeah, it's got some names in there and some little horror people popping up. But unfortunately, it doesn't deliver.
Yeah, this is... I was just sitting there. I was trying to find, like, outside of, you know, obviously Freddy popping up at the bookends and in the middle of the show and during the commercial break. I didn't really have anything I liked about it.
What? You didn't like the return of Beefy Boy, the burger joint?
Yeah, I didn't like that fucking burger episode anyway. So I was like, oh, great. We're back to this fucking place. It reminded me of it too, because I'm pretty sure the guy that played the biker dude was in this episode too.
Yeah. I'd have to look.
Or as at least somebody that looked like
him. Like, I was like, he might. I'm trying to. Yeah, I can't confirm. I'm just trying to look real quick. Yeah, it is one of those things. I was kind of like, okay, we're keeping some, we're building our world. We're back at Beefy Boy. I was okay with that.
Yeah.
You're like, no.
Nah.
Made it worse.
I could have done without Beefy Boy in general. So going back there was like, oh, great. We're back to this fucking place.
Well, again. All of season two takes place in Beefy Boy.
No, oh, great. Just a fucking... Everybody in the working at the fast food joint getting picked off one by one. Fucking
well, then it would be drive through.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, drive through would have been. I love drive through. So, yeah. But all right. So, why don't we rate this and move on to the next episode? So, for me, even though like I had a lot bad to say about it, I'm still a 2.5 because like. Freddie made up for it by the end of it. And, you know, it does still give you that 80s horror TV feel. So there's something to be said with that. And I can see other people liking it more than me. You're muted, Tub.
My bad. No worries. I'm actually exactly on with you on this one too. 2.5. I actually thought you'd be lower. I thought you'd be a 1.5.
I think Freddie had just anything with Freddie is going to make it better for me.
Yeah, I get that. So yeah, I'm also 2.5 on this one. So
all right,
not what I'm going to say. Like, we're going to recommend the episodes to check out when we finish.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go out of the limb. This isn't going to make the,
yeah, that was definitely one you could skip.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to episode 10 now, The Bride Wore Red. And in this one, a married man meets a sultry stripper at his friend's bachelor party while Jessica learns that her parents are divorcing. Excuse me. All right. So, first thing I got to say, Rat Master Freddy, the shit. That alone makes this episode worth watching. I laughed that they kept going back to it too. Like, they showed it like five fucking
times. It was like the bumper, like every time.
Yeah. But yeah, Freddie just scratching on the record with the fucking sunglasses and chain on. That was pretty fucking great. I did actually like the whole bachelor party strip club thing going on too. Like, when he kept seeing all the chicks wearing like the weird flesh colored masks, and like, that was a nice little scene we got. And then, you know, the stripper showing up to the wedding later on when and the husband almost having an affair with her. I was like actually really interested in this. The second half of the story did start to lose me a bit, just because I don't know. I was more interested in the strippers than Jess, you know, telling a bunch of people's wives that they're cheating on them. I wasn't really crazy about that, but I will say the whole dream sequence with the father explaining to her about, you know, divorce and that her parents may be getting a divorce and stuff, that scene really does a good job of encompassing like the horror that is of being a kid and realizing your parents are getting a divorce. I think they did a really good job of that. And I actually really liked how that's what sets Jess over at the end of the episode and makes her go to an insane asylum, is because her dad and her parents end up getting a divorce, and it was traumatized her whole life that, you know, she was keeping these secrets from her mom while her dad was sleeping around. But then in the end, her mom knew anyway. So, and that's what sets her off. And I thought that was really well done.
I thought you were going to say that the wedding, not the, or the getting married part, not the, other part. Yeah, I do really like this one. And you mentioned Jess, which is played by Diane Franklin, from what I consider the best Amityville film, Amityville 2, The Possession. She's our lead in that. She also, like, I love The Last American Virgin. She's kind of a C word in that. I don't know why I just didn't say cunt, but she, but I love that movie. She's also in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. She was also in the last Amityville. What was the Amityville? Shoot. The one directed by our, Daniel Ferens, who did the Boogeyman, American Boogeywoman.
Oh, okay.
It's also takes place in basically the Amityville 2 era, like the murders before the hauntings. So, gotcha. And I don't know why I can't find the name of this damn one. Oh, she actually also pops up in Ted Bundy, American Boogeyman, as Mrs. Healy, now that I remember that. And I'm trying to think of the movie that's called The Amityville Murders from 2018. She plays Luis Defoe, who's the mother of the child that gets killed. Or
Okay.
In other words, yeah. I'm losing it.
She's done a lot of shit.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, why don't we rate this one then? I was tossed up between a 3 and a 3.5. I think I'm going to give it the 3 out of 5. But if there was maybe a little bit more Rat Master Freddy, 3.5 would have been an easy rating for me.
Well, Rat Master Freddy made it a 3.5, because I do like this episode. But I agree. The first half, I don't know, the whole thing, actually, I do like. I get what you're saying. There's little bits, but overall, yeah.
I do like how this one directly ties into the other story, too, though.
Yeah, like, sometimes
Yeah, sometimes they feel separated, like completely separate stories, but this had a pretty consistent theme going on, which was nice.
Yeah. And the only time I don't mind the two stories is when it feels like it's forced.
Yeah.
And we've had a couple like that. I believe it was our last one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, I'm with you. All right. Well, I think that's all we got for these two. So just make sure you like, share, subscribe. Follow us on all the social media bullshits. Links in the description. Also, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures starts at just $1. And you get exclusive and uncensored content there. So check it out. And yeah. All right. Sweet dreams, motherfuckers.